Your Story with Melinda Estabrooks, an exclusive presentation of Faith Strong Today. Listen for new episodes every Monday and subscribe to the podcast at faithstrongtoday.com.
Our stories have the power to connect us, to inspire us, and give us courage. On Your Story with Melinda, your story matters.
Do you know you're already amazing? That's the question we'll be answering today on my show, Your Story with Melinda, and I have an incredible, wonderful guest with me via Skype. Holly Girth is a Wall Street Journal best-selling author. She's a certified life coach and speaker, and she loves encouraging the hearts of women through her popular blog, as well as her books like You're Already Amazing, You're Going to Be Okay, oh, that's good to know, and You're Loved No Matter What. She's also the co-founder of Encourage.me and a writer for Dayspring, and she has a master's degree in counseling. And Holly has just come up with this wonderful devotional called Do You Know You're Already Amazing? 30 Truths to Set Your Heart Free. And we're going to talk about some of these truths, not all 30, because it's a bit of a tease for you listeners and watchers to get this book. Here's the thing what I love, and before we get to meet Holly, look at this. Here's my wallet, ladies. Look at her devotional right in there, like that. And this afternoon when I was walking in downtown, I had this here. And as I was walking around and sitting, I was able to just open it up. It's awesome. Holly, what a great idea. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Yes. Okay, so now, Holly, I'll be honest with you. This title, Do You Know You're Already Amazing? I got to be honest. There are days I'm like, no. I don't feel it this way. Here's the thing. Because there are days that I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going through some kind of perimenopause. My hair is falling out. I think I need glasses, and I'm actually avoiding it. I can't get rid of this gut fat here I don't know why I can't do it. My body's changing, and there are days I don't feel amazing. And here you are saying, do you know you're already amazing? Tell me why. Is this really true? Because I know there's tons of people across the world that are like, I don't know that I already am amazing.
Yes. And that's why we put a question mark, because I think as women, we all have those days where we're like, I am anything but amazing. Like you said, you know, like my hair won't cooperate. I just spilled the cereal on the floor. Yeah. I can't think of a single thing to say on Facebook. Like everyone's cooler than me. And so the book is really for those days. It's because every single day we need to remember the truth about who we are all over again, because we live in a world where that's not easy to believe. So my hope is that this little book will be like that friend who comes alongside you and says, even though you don't feel it, even though you don't see it right now, even though you're not perfect, you're still amazing, and here's why. And I believe that God does have that truth to share with us, even though that seems a bit scandalous.
Yeah, it does, actually, because like I said, there are days I'm like, no way am I amazing. Maybe half amazing, but not fully. Holly, you know, as an author and you're a coach, for you, you know, was this hard for you personally to get there, that you realize that you're amazing? What's a bit of your backstory on how you ended up doing these awesome titles, like You're Already Amazing, You're Gonna Be Okay, You're Loved No Matter What? Where did that come from as far as your own journey of faith and your relationship with Jesus?
Yeah, I think a big secret is that writers write what they need to hear.
So, well, that's encouraging to hear for a lot of us.
And so I think it's not so much that we're like, I've totally got this. You know, it's that God's doing a healing work in our lives and our hearts that we then get to share with others. And that's what it was for me. Like I'm not by nature kind of a perfectionist. I'm hard on myself. I came to a point in my life where I was engaging with a lot of other women through my blog and as a counselor and coach, and I started realizing I'm not the only one who struggles with these lies. I'm not the only one who needs to hear new truth from Jesus. And so he took my heart through a process, and then I got to share it with other women. But it's still something I go back to also over and over again. And I think as long as we're on this earth, that will be the case. I feel like I've made a lot of progress. Yeah. I can look back and say I'm not where I was then, but I'm not saying every single day, every single moment, I believe I'm amazing. That's the end of it. So I think it's about growth. not perfection this side of heaven, and we're just all on that journey together.
That's awesome. Tell me how this devotional came about. You did an online survey with women. Is that how it started off, and you were asked the question? Because I think that's pretty, well, it doesn't surprise me, but the numbers still, you know, surprise me about how many women responded and what they said.
Yes. Well, I released a book called You're Already Amazing in 2012 that was a trade book. And the second chapter of that book had five lies we're tempted as women to believe. And I got a lot of feedback of, we want to talk about this more. Mm-hmm. And so when we decided to do a devotional, which it's all new content, it's not excerpts from the book, I went on my Facebook page and I asked, what are some lies you're tempted to believe, or that women are tempted to believe, and think not just about yourself, but about your sisters and your daughters and your friends? And I thought, maybe I'll get a handful. It'll be a nice little start. I got hundreds and hundreds of responses. So I very uncharacteristically made a spreadsheet and I recorded all these lies and how many times each one came up. And then I picked the lies that seemed to resonate the most and said, okay, what is the truth God has for us that replaces these lies? And so it was really compelling for me, because some of the lies, I would have written the same ones, but some were different than mine. And so I got to learn more about women's hearts and what God had to say to those places. Mm-hmm. So yes, I was totally surprised by the response. And I feel like definitely the readers shaped this book by telling me, this is what we want to hear about.
Yeah. What was the, would you say the top five lies were that you saw?
I would say you're invisible was probably number one.
Wow.
You're not enough. If anyone really knew you, you wouldn't be loved. Let's see, what else? Those are probably the top three. I might have to stretch a little harder for the next two, because there are a lot of ties after that. But kind of those three were really clearly, you know, the top ones.
Yeah, let's talk about that one. That one about being invisible. I think that actually makes my heart sad that there are hundreds of women that feel that they're invisible.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why do women feel that way?
Well, this was one I wouldn't necessarily have put. I would have picked a second two. You're not good enough. And if anyone really loves you and knows you, they won't love you the same. But this one was a bit of a surprise to me. So I did look into that. Like, what is it that women are feeling? And I think we live in a culture where we're told, go big. Like, everything's so visible. You know, every day you see on Facebook, someone else is going on a mission trip or launching a nonprofit or running a company or raising these amazing children in perfectly matched outfits. And everyone's else's accomplishments and lives are so visible that I think it's a lot easier to say, you know what, like, my ordinary day-to-day life is so unseen. You know, I'm washing dishes, I'm carting kids around, I'm getting coffee at meetings, I'm turning in projects, I'm sitting in church on Sunday. Like, I don't think anyone really sees me. Mm. And so I think that may be a lie that's more prevalent in our culture than ever before. But I think it's one that God definitely wants to address, that we're not invisible to him, that he notices everything, and perhaps especially the small things we do in secret that no one but him will ever know about. And so I started the book with that lie, and I think it was a really powerful place to start, to just begin with, you know what? God sees you every single day. And even if no one else does, it matters to him what you do and who you are.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And what I love about this devotional, Holly, is that, you know, you start off with, you know, a friend's story of how they feel and sort of the lie that they believe, and you change the names. And then you share, a story in the Bible about how these same people thousands of years ago felt the same way we did. So we're really not alone. And then you end with like just these great, you know, at the back with just questions and a tip. And it's so easy and yet so helpful. And what I love about it, it's just relatable. You know what I mean? So that it's like you're sitting here and you're like, yeah, I feel invisible every day. Or there are days I feel invisible, you know, when this happens, and you can kind of open this up and go, okay, you know what? I'm not alone, because she feels it. And then this woman a thousand years ago, you know, and thousands of years ago feels the same way. And now I can kind of process it, so I'm not overwhelmed by that feeling. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a thing for women. And I've noticed this with me when I went through a dark depression. I overwhelmed myself with so much of the stuff I wasn't and kind of went inward without processing it or reading or being encouraged that other people go through it, that's what happened, you know, when I went in that dark place. And so this really kind of opens it up, really helps, I think it's going to help women just to say, okay, I'm not alone. Right?
Yes. And I yes. can do it. That's a big hope. I've struggled with depression and anxiety too. And I think the lies are especially loud in those seasons. Yeah. And I think the enemy sees that as an opportunity for shame.
Yes.
You know, and yeah. shame always makes us hide. And so I think having these lies said out loud in this book and saying, you know what, hundreds of women said this, not just you. And look, like you said, here's a story of someone today and a story of someone in the Bible who went through the same thing, that we can say, you know, like there's nothing to be ashamed of about battling this lie. It's just an attack against our heart. We are fierce warriors. We don't have to stand there and take it. You know,
yes,
we can kick some tail and,
yes, we can.
And fight back with the truth.
Yeah.
And
I love that.
We're in this together.
Yeah, that's awesome. Here's honestly a few too that as I was reading, because there's 30 of them. So for you listening or watching, we're obviously not going to give the 30 away because you have to go and get this devotional. But the one that really struck me was number 4, you're not defined by a man.
Yes.
Now, let's talk about that, because as much as maybe we don't want to admit it, and as much as a Christian woman, you're like, oh, no, Christ defines me, and you say that truth, there still is that part of, like, you know, men define me. If a man, if I'm walking by and a man doesn't look at me, then obviously I'm not attractive. Or if a man, I don't, you know, have a date or no one's, you know, pursuing me, then I'm not worthy, right? Like, we as women define so much of ourselves and how we look and how we are by men and their attention and if they're in relationship with me or all of that. I honestly, Holly, personally have struggled with that like all my life, you know, just feeling like I need the attention of men, you know, men to make myself feel better. And then always in the day trying to get the attention, right? So that I would feel validated and that I would feel like I was worthy of love. Mm-hmm. And wow, that's a big one. Like that's one of the first I've really seen anywhere where you just nailed it. It's like the lie of, you know, you are defined by a man.
Yes. And I think we all struggle with that as women. I think it's because it's a counterfeit of a legitimate desire. Mm-hmm. I think those are the strongest traps, the ones that aren't a complete departure from what our hearts are made to long for. They're just a counterfeit version. And so the reality is we are made to be defined by a man, but that man is Jesus,
yeah.
You know? And he is wanting to say to us, you're loved and you're chosen and you're accepted, because we can't see him and touch him and feel him. It's so easy to place that on the men in our lives instead. Mm-hmm. And they always disappoint us.
They do.
Because they're human.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think just recognizing that that's a vulnerability almost built into us, and it's okay to struggle with that, but that we don't have to give ourselves completely over to it. The story I shared in that one was of Abigail, who's had a wicked husband, probably arranged by marriage. And King David, before he was king, was seeking refuge, went and asked for provisions from her husband. And he refused in a very disrespectful way. And David was going to take revenge. And Abigail wisely went out and said, don't do this. You know, here's what you need. I respect you. I will help you. And it turned out that when she became a widow, David asked for her to become his wife. I just thought that was a beautiful thing, because in that time, for a wife to go against her husband's word was absolutely scandalous.
Yeah.
I mean, she was being a wild woman doing that, and a godly woman. And she was saying, you know what, I don't have to be defined by my marriage, in a culture very different from ours, where the reality was she was defined by her marriage. Mm-hmm. She was limited by the man in her life. But even in that circumstance, she said, you know, because of God, I don't have to let that define me. And it opened up a whole new season in her life that was probably more than she ever imagined, becoming a queen, because she said, you know what, I'm not going to let my worth be defined by a man.
Yeah. That's good. That is so empowering. And I think that even as, you know, women with kids or, you know, grandmothers, aunts, anybody who's mentoring or has relationship with, you know, young women, to really start talking about that to them at an early age, to encourage them that, you know, the man we're looking for, who's going to really fulfill those desires and needs, is Jesus. right? Mm-hmm. Because again, if we're always, and, you know, and even I say this with some of my girlfriends who are single, they're like, my life's not complete because I need a man. I'm like, oh. there are days where when you're married, you're like, really? I want to be single, right? So that's a really good one. Here's another one, a lie in chapter six that I know a lot of us women struggle with, where you say your looks don't determine your worth.
Mm-hmm.
Ow. And ow, I say, because it seems even, again, at a young age for women, this is, again, what we offer to the world. How we look, how we present ourselves. And so even for me, as you know, I shared earlier, there was always so much emphasis on that, how we look so that people will accept me, people will like me, people will find me attractive so I can be with them in their company. You know what I mean? And even within the church, we still struggle with this. You know, we may say, I mean, I'm not saying that don't be presentable or be clean, but yes. When the emphasis is so much on, we as women focus so much on our looks. And I even struggle with that even today as I'm like, you know, finding my creases in my forehead. And I'm like in the mirror going like this.
Yes.
A little lift and tuck here. And honestly, right? And you sit there in your bathroom going, am I really doing this? Should I feel guilty that I'm focusing on this? Or is this real? And you have this anxious guilt, yet, oh, but it would be so great, and, you know, within yourself. And yet, the back of me, Holly, it's like, okay, but I know God loves me as I am, but right now I'm not loving this.
Right.
So I'm putting on my face creams that, you know, wrinkle-free and, you know, great makeup, like my, you know, that Photoshop finish spray that you do. So what, I can look 20 again? Let's talk about that. You know, why are women, I mean, I guess it's not really the question why are women so obsessed, but how do we counter that lie? Because it seems like we struggle with that every day, even in knowing the truth of Jesus and his acceptance of us, right?
Yes, yes. I agree with you. I do the same thing. I have one of those like little mirrors in my bathroom that you can flip over.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
and sometimes I accidentally like get the magnifying side. I'm like, oh! Don't ever look in there.
Yeah, I banished that. I had one of those, and finally I'm like, I can't even do this. This is causing me great anxiety.
Traumatized. What just happened? So, yes. And again, I think it's the same thing, that there's something in us that is made for beauty. We as women bring that to the world in a lot of different ways. Even those of us who aren't like girly girls, there's still something mm-hmm. in us that is drawn to beauty and wants to offer beauty to the world. And so I think it's redefining what beauty means.
Yeah.
And I think about like an artist, that a piece is beautiful to the artist, not because it's flawless, but because it fulfills the vision of the creator. And so if we think of beauty as those moments when we fulfill the vision of our creator that he had when he made us, then that can help shift.
Yeah.
Like there's some older women in my life that they have the gray hair and they have their wrinkles, but they're stunning in a way I can't explain, you know? Mm-hmm. And I would put them up against a model on the cover of a magazine any day, because they are just saying, you know, this is who I was created to be. This is what I was called to do. And I'm going to focus on that. They bring joy to other people. And so I think when we can say, yes, like we are drawn to beauty, and that is a good thing. It's wonderful that I'm putting on this dress today. My grandma loved to wear pretty dresses, you know, all the way into her 80s. But saying at the end of the day, that's not my worth. My worth is defined because I'm fulfilling the vision of my creator. Then we can begin to get free from some of those lies. And being around women too that remind us of that, you know, that say,
it's
girl,
important.
I love you when you are in your yoga pants with your ponytail on top of your head. And
no makeup.
No makeup. And we can sit on the couch, just say, this is who I am. This is what I'm going through. This is what life is about right now. And say to each other, you know, you're beautiful in the middle of all that.
Yeah, that's and so freeing, right, Holly? Because then you're not like constantly having to put this on, walk out the door, you know, sort of put on that facade of this, and then you go home, you take it all off, and you're like, oh,
yes,
oh, that was exhausting. And the next morning, do it again. I mean, what that would be so amazing for women to understand, that freedom, when you can get to that place where, you know, God loves you. And, you know, if we're constantly being obsessed with this and not working in the inside of who we are and our character and the person that we are.
Yeah.
That's the challenge. So thank you for that. That's a good one. Here, how about this one? Number 28, you're not in control.
Yeah, we all hate that one.
Yeah, I know. I'm reading through this and it's like, okay, yeah, those. And then it went to 28 and I'm like, ah, shoot. And then I kind of closed it and then I opened it back up. I'm like, all right, I'm ready for that one. You're not in control. Let's talk about that because I know for myself and a lot of other girlfriends in my life, there is that sense of working so hard to control our environment, our circumstances, our journey, where we're going next. And it's all sort of planned, or not even just planned, just controlling everything so that we sort of maintain a semblance of order and managing my life so that, you know, I don't feel chaotic in a way. Like, so let's talk about that one because I think that's a good one for a lot of for us to hear.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think we all have that tendency in some way, either external control, you know, mm-hmm. or internal control. I'm going to control the people and my environment, yeah. or I'm going to control myself and my behavior and try to be perfect, or a little bit of both,
right.
depending
exactly.
on the day.
Yeah, exactly.
Know?
Yeah.
My husband's like, why are you organizing the refrigerator? Because everything else is out of control.
Yeah, exactly.
And I need
do that too,
the mayonnaise
yes.
to be next to the mustard, okay? Walk away slowly.
Right, mayonnaise not by the eggs.
Yeah.
Behind the ketchup right here. Exactly, I get it.
Yes. And what I discovered in my life, that control ultimately always came back to fear in some way. That when I had that feeling of I need to control, it was because I was afraid that someone wasn't going to like me or things weren't going to turn out the way I hoped or whatever it was. And I thought if I could just be perfect or make things the way externally that I thought they should be, then I would get the outcome I wanted. And basically that means I wanted safety. And I think what God promises us instead is security. You know, we really, at the end of the day, we don't really want control. We really want to know we're going to be taken care of. But that means saying, okay, God, I'm going to open myself up and I'm going to give you access and I'm going to say, like, no matter what happens, I'm going to trust that I'm going to be okay because you love me. Mm-hmm. And that's security. Because the reality is in this world, things aren't always going to be safe.
No.
They're not always going to turn out the way we hope. And so coming to that place of surrender where we can say, but even so, I know that I am loved. I know that God is for me. That can be tremendously freeing to our hearts.
Absolutely. I love that one. And let's end with this one, which is the title of your devotional, this sense that you're already amazing. Talk to me about that, because even for me, there's moments I'm like, you're already amazing. It's not like you're going to be amazing. I see the potential that you will be amazing. You're actually saying you already are amazing. And I know that there's probably a number of people who can't receive that today. You know what I mean? They're probably like,
yeah.
No. Maybe in, you know, after I do my like 10-step program of like bettering myself, then I'll be there, Holly and, you know, Melinda. Or no, if you knew me, but you're actually saying here, you're already amazing. Talk about that, because I think that's a big, like, people are like, really? Like, I am? I don't understand. How can that be? Right?
Yeah.
Why did you say that? You're already amazing, not you're going to be one day. Right?
Yes, yes. Well, that phrase really came out of a season when I was seeing counseling clients, and I would see these wonderful women who would come in and be just exhausted because they were just trying so hard and not able to see like how much they were already doing. And I would find myself again and again just saying, you know what? You're already amazing. You don't have to do more. You don't have to be more. You don't have to have more. Like, lean into God's love. And that's the miracle of grace, that He's not saying more, more, more. He's saying, receive, like, abide in me, and I'll take care of all those other things. And so I think we need to hear that message, that it's not about I have to do more, I have to be more, I have to have more. It's believing that because of Jesus, we are already amazing. Mm-hmm. And He's going to get us the rest of the way. We're going to be a work in progress till we're home. But that's okay. It's because today we can just rest in love. And so that is a truth I still wrestle with.
Yeah.
But it's also been one that's been really transformational to me, that it's not about pushing harder. It's about leaning into grace.
That's beautiful. You know, Holly, imagine if women all over the world believe that truth, that they're already amazing. And what I love about this devotional is that it's 30 truths to set your heart free. And so it's manageable, like, you know, one day a month you read it. And I wouldn't go quickly through it. You know, this could be where it may take maybe not one day a month, but maybe the whole year, because you may have to sit here and go, do I really believe this? I got to go back to this. Let me think through it. Let me work on this. Because, you know, fighting lies is hard work.
Yeah.
And yet, and replacing them with truths are what we need to do, but then working through believing the truth. Like, and that's why when people ask me, you know, why do you follow Jesus? Why are you all about him? And I'm like, because of the truth of who he is, the truth of who he is and what he believes for me, and the truth of how he sees me. Like, what woman wouldn't be like enamored by Jesus? Like, every time I read about him, Holly, I'm like, oh, he's still my heart. Like, you're defending of the poor, and the way you speak to women and are with them at in their places by the well and in the hardships, you love them, which
yes.
just wasn't way back then, but it's today.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, you know, this is not a hard, and I laugh about it, it's not a hard like evangelism thing, like get to know him. It's like, no, actually, let me introduce you to this man, Jesus, who loves you this way.
Yes.
And when I do talk about it that way, people are like, that's pretty amazing. Like, I've never been explained about this man, Jesus, the way you have. And I said, but it's because I've seen that done in my own life.
Yes.
You know, when I started believing some of the truths, I really got it. And I was like, I live out the truth of these things, right?
Yes. And that's one thing that struck me, because I went through all the stories of the women in Bible in the Bible. And one theme I found was just God's tremendous tenderness toward women.
Oh,
like, just we really do have a special place in his heart. Like, there's just such a tenderness and a care and a compassion and a what women's hearts long for.
Absolutely.
Really is there. And that was beautiful for me to see in these stories, where you read them individually and you see a little like puzzle piece of that, but to put them all together and see that as a whole, I was just really struck by like, wow, like we are cared for in a way that is just beyond what I could have even imagined.
Imagine with me, Holly, imagine that message spoken out and shared all over the world about this Jesus man, God, tender and kind and compassionate. You know, imagine that kind of gospel and how we would reach people versus some other angry, judgmental, religious, you know, person, God, right? Thank you for this. Like, this was great for me. You know, again, I've been a Christian for a long time, had my moment as a prodigal daughter, kind of came back. I'm now in a great community, but, you know, every day I need to, even for me, be reminded of his truth. So thank you for this gift. I thank you for this because, again, nice and handy in my purse, right? It's great. And I know that our listeners and watchers can pick this up on hollygirth.com, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
So everybody go get this. Go look at how convenient this is. It's a great gift. Perfect even for a back pocket, wallet, clutch, whatever you guys use, backpack, for traveling. This is a great devotional. So Holly, thank you for the time to do this, for listening to women and your time spent with me, because it just really honestly encouraged me. And I think after this, I know that I'm amazing.
Yay.
And you are too. So,
awesome. Well, thank you again for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to Your Story with Melinda, an exclusive presentation of FaithStrongToday.com. Listen to past episodes by subscribing to our podcast on iTunes and join the conversation with Faith Strong Today on Facebook.